There's good news about genetic testing for cancer risk. Certain tests, particularly related to breast and ovarian cancer risk, are now available, funded by Medicare, and can be ordered by a wide range of doctors. But experts in the field warn that while these gene tests seem straightforward, they're not, and the results are open to misinterpretation. Judy Kirk is a cancer specialist at the University of Sydney and has a strong interest in familial cancer. But her real claim to fame is that Judy was once my paediatric resident. Welcome to the Health Report, Judy.
Thank you, Norman. That was a very long time ago.
Yes, it was. So tell us about these tests.
Well, these tests have been available for many years in the public health system, so usually ordered by geneticists in genetics departments and paid for by the state health system. But not everybody with breast cancer needs a genetic test.
So this is BRCA1 and 2?
This is BRCA1 and BRCA2. And it's really only rare women who have breast or ovarian cancer as a result of an inherited mutation in one of those genes. And generally, they're the women with breast cancer perhaps at a younger age or certain types of ovarian cancer, those with a family history of breast and ovarian cancer. So the testing needs to be targeted to those where you might get useful information as a result of testing.
So who qualifies for the test?
So at the moment, there are guidelines on when genetic testing is likely to be useful, and that would perhaps be a young woman with breast cancer and a strong family history. But probably only 50% of those tests are now going to be funded, rather than by the state health system, by Medicare. So not all of the indications for genetic testing are covered by the new Medicare item numbers. But I guess the thing that changes is because it's now covered by Medicare, it can be done by genetics or non-genetic specialists in public or private practice.
And could it be done by GPs?
And this Medicare item number doesn't cover testing by GPs. So it would be done by specialists, but specialists with varying degrees of training and understanding of the complexities of this genetic testing.
So a cancer specialist or a surgeon could do it?
Yes, certainly. Or a respiratory physician or a psychiatrist could also do this testing. And so there are... Yes, indeed. Okay. There are complexities to it that I guess we...
So what are the complexities?
The complexities are that not every woman needs a genetic test, that this item number pertains to women with breast or ovarian cancer, who sometimes may have a strong family history of the disease.
So it doesn't apply to your daughter or your sister?
No, indeed. And genetic testing always should be thought of for two reasons. One, for the patient with cancer. And then secondly, if we find something in that patient, then it would be used to test other people in the family and see if they've got the same problem or not. Angelina Jolie was a fantastic example of that because her mum had ovarian cancer. They had a strong family history. Her mum was tested first, and they found a mutation in BRCA1, which Angelina was then tested for. And as it turns out, she had that mutation and so took action, very good action, to reduce her risk.
She had a bilateral mastectomy.
She had a bilateral mastectomy, but she also had her ovaries and fallopian tubes removed to reduce the risk of ovarian cancer.
Now, that's pretty, when you say it's good because it removes the organs where the cancer occurs. But if you get it wrong and you have that treatment, it could be pretty disastrous. Have there been examples where people have got it wrong?
Absolutely, there have been. And I guess that's the reason why we wrote this article.
So give me a story.
Well,
tell me what happened.
Well, in 2016, for example, a completely unaffected woman in Oregon had her blood taken and was tested for mutations in various genes. And she was told she was at high risk of breast cancer. She had a mutation in one of these BRCA genes. And that she also had a problem called the Lynch syndrome, which causes a high risk of bowel and uterus cancer. And as a result, she had risk-reducing surgery for those organs. In the end, on looking at the genetic testing report, what she had was called a variant of uncertain significance. In other words, a genetic change where there's no evidence that it definitely causes disease.
So she wasn't BRCA positive?
She certainly wasn't. She was actually at average risk of all of those cancers. And we do know that in the United States, when surgeons are doing this genetic testing for women with breast cancer, that quite often this sort of slight variation is being treated just as the same as a disease-causing mutations. And so about half the women who were actually at average risk ended up having a bilateral mastectomy. So we know for sure that interpretation of genetic variants is quite a complex issue.
So what are the pathologists doing? I mean, it's their responsibility to give a report which says, don't worry about it, this is just a normal variation and don't panic or refer to a genetic counsellor. There must be something wrong in the report coming back from the pathologist.
Well, unfortunately, although there's a standardised reporting system for these mutations and variants, it's not used widely and uniformly around Australia or around the world, so that other specialists without genetic background who are ordering these tests need to be aware that you need to read the report very carefully. There are unclassified variants that may lead you to the wrong decision about that patient. And that's why I guess we advise that if non-genetic specialists are going to be involved in such testing, they develop a pretty close relationship with their local family cancer clinic for help with the complexities of this.
So just in the few moments we've got left, who should have, forget now the Medicare item number, who should have genetic testing for breast cancer? Where should it be done? And what do you do about your daughter and your sister if you turn up positive?
Well, look, I think we would advocate that it's good to make sure that genetic testing is available to women who might have a gene mutation. Generally, we start with a woman with breast or ovarian cancer, and nowadays we test almost all women with ovarian cancer because we've found that often there is a gene fault despite the lack of family history. But for a woman with breast cancer, especially those who are younger, those who've had breast cancer in both breasts, those who've had breast and ovarian cancer, or those with a family history, that's where the testing should start. And then if something is found in those genes, then their unaffected relatives can be simply and accurately tested to determine their risk.
But it should be done in a familial cancer centre rather than by an amateur?
Well, it should be done by specialists with enough training to interpret and also to advise the woman and help her through that genetic testing process. That could be a surgeon outside a genetic service, but it would be very good.
How's a GP to know who to refer to that knows about this?
All right. Well, a GP can look. There are guidelines, for example, on EVIQ, the New South Wales Cancer Institute website, which are really terrific and would guide the GP as to who would be appropriate for referral to consider assessment for testing.
And can patients look at EVIQ?
Absolutely. It's a public and freely available.
Judy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Norman.
Associate Professor Judy Kirk is a medical oncologist at the University of Sydney. Hasn't she done well? I put it down to her training.